Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. We're coming off the biggest upside reversal since February and further gains at the open as the market looks for progress on that debt limit extension. Oil and nat gas add to yesterday's losses and jobless claims fall to 326K. That's the second lowest of the pandemic. Our roadmap begins with the continued market volatility. We are set for a sharp rally. Oil and nat gas continue their pullback from multi-year highs.
Plus, crisis averted, the Senate finalizing a deal to raise the debt limit until December, temporarily avoiding what Jamie Dimon said could lead to a recession, to a complete catastrophe for the global economy.
And Facebook now reportedly delaying the launch of some new products to focus on improving its reputation. But for the moment, let's talk about the reversal and today's pre-market, Jim. If we open at these levels, you'd be looking at a 2% gain for the month.
Right. Well, I do think that there was just, for the longest time, the narrative was, thank heaven, energy's going higher. That means we're going to avoid a recession. Then energy got too high. And the next thing you know, people started talking about stagflation. And then people started, the revisions of $100 dancing people's eyes, the idea that nat gas was going to go to nine, in Europe was going to get felled by nat gas prices, Gazprom turning them off. And David, the whole scenario ends when our government says maybe we'll open the SPR.
Yeah. There was also some margin. There was clearly some margin calls or something on that UK natural gas move that happened on Monday, right? And then may have calmed down.
But we have to stop. We have to get away from just that energy's in charge.
Yeah.
There are many things that are happening, and there's some earnings. Yesterday, there was this delayed reaction to PepsiCo. And I think it's important because Pepsi's a big company, where Pepsi announced a very good quarter in terms of revenues, really fabulous. But people were talking about raw costs going up, of course. And next thing you know, people just decided, you know, what the hell with it? Everybody's got raw costs going up. Let's just buy the ones that are good. And I think, Carl, this idea of if everybody's got raw costs that are bad, let's find something that are good, that's a new narrative. And I had Constellation Brands on last night. They are saying it. Maybe it goes up.
I was going to say, we saw it through the lens of Pepsi, then Constellation, and then Levi. And Jim talked to Chip Berg about cotton last night. Take a listen.
On cotton specifically, we don't buy cotton. We buy finished product from mills, and we negotiate with them in advance. So our pricing is locked in through the first half of next year already. So our cost of goods are already locked in for the first half of next year, and we're in the midst of negotiating for the second half. And I'm bullish that we're going to be able to land that, as we said in our call, kind of in the mid-single digits from an inflation standpoint. Turns out to be a little bit higher than that. We may need to take some more pricing, and we're confident we're going to be able to do that.
So is this taking shape, this picture of the quarter?
I think that there are things where you hear they're able to take price. Sarah, with her interview with PepsiCo, able to take price. Levi Strauss, able to take price. And again, for people who are not in these different professions, what it does mean is that you can raise your price, and the consumer is not going to object. And a lot of that, David, is the consumer's flush. And the consumer's so flush that we hear from Marty Musi that perhaps, you know what, he's the CEO of Paychex.
Yep, comes on Mad Money.
They do.
I know.
People don't even, I'm not saying people don't have to work, but people are feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because usually the approval ratings of the president, which have not exactly been as strong as some would have thought, usually coincide with a decline, you know, kind of the Meles, Jimmy Carter period. But no.
Well. People may be feeling good, but you just saw the commodities that you're paying a lot more for and or the final product that is some uses those commodities. So they may be feeling good, but they're also paying more for things.
But people have more money.
And they need it.
But, you know, when you look at, you go over what's going up in a house, again, I come back to the idea that this is, that Powell's going to be proven right on some of these things.
You do. But Dow Chemical. Look at the moves in these commodities, Jim. This is not. And by the way, you and I were having this conversation 9 months ago.
Why aren't you saying? But
except lumber.
Right.
There's lumber.
We always got lumber.
Yeah, David, okay, that was called a blow-off top.
Yeah, that was. But that was a while ago
but
now.
But once you have a blow-off top, there's no coming back.
Right.
How do you know the cotton's not going to have a blow-off top?
I don't have any idea.
Right. Or aluminum.
I don't think. I can put up energy's having a blow-off top.
I could put up an aluminum factory in like 6 months.
Really?
Yes. Energy won't have a blow-off top until somebody blinks in our country. Well, someone will blink. Come on. They're always going to blink.
Your point about the market being able to sustain some of those is interesting because yesterday J.P. Morgan says stocks can survive with oil at 130 and a 10-year at 2.5. Not that they think we're going to get there,
right.
But Kalanovic's view was provocative yesterday afternoon.
That is, that's 130
and 2.5?
How about the fact that I could take the view that Goldman the other day came out with perhaps 100 and then immediately oil then collapsed. I could take that view.
You could, but there's a lot of things built that would indicate.
That was kind of a...
Oh, you were kind of giving them some
kind
shade.
Of a shtick.
That was shade. That's,
right. Now, if it were Zuckerberg,
kind of
you would say, I would go there. Yes, definitely, Jim.
You were in the same way you talk about that Apple analyst from Bernstein.
He's incredibly nice.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, but does that mean you are no longer cautious on the front half of October or at least to October 26th?
I do think that we get, look, remember the seasonally the best days of the year, if you look at down 23 years, for 23 years, is the last 10 days of this month,
yep,
couple of days of November. So I think that we're trying to figure it out. I think that the comeback yesterday was really extraordinary because it came back on headlines of SPR and headlines of maybe deal in Washington. But the reality is this market wants to go higher. Now, does it want to go higher like the futures this morning? I mean, I got up early. And David, I wanted to communicate with you when,
yes,
I got up early, but I know that you were sleeping.
No, that is correct. Trying to sleep.
And it was very clear that the futures were up big. And I said, oh, come on, nothing happened overnight. So, like, let's stop this. Let's stop having the seven people who trade futures control our dialogue.
Okay.
And instead, let's focus on the companies. Let's focus on Costco. We are talking about a month that Costco had, Costco being representative, David, of a place that you go, you become a club member.
Correct.
You get a thing,
right,
which then gives you a club. I'm trying to explain the mem.
Look
and
at
then
that.
You get all sorts of buys
look
when
at
you
Costco.
Go there.
Look at that stuff.
Well, they have things that are, they offer value.
Put up a 10-year. Put up a 10-year stop, please.
Well, they also gave you a special dividend. I don't know if that has a special dividend.
I mean, I will say you've been positive on Costco all the way through.
Yes.
Look at that.
Well, I'm positive because I shop there. And see, Dave, when you shop, now you know that there are some months where they sell so much $100,000 jewelry.
Yeah.
$100,000 jewelry. This is not Zale. Every Kiss does not begin at Costco. But at the same time, they sell an awful lot of expensive goods. They
also
sell
they do.
That's why they put it at the front of the store.
Exactly.
Right.
And don't forget, they sell a lot of travel packages. But they sell a lot of hearing aids, too. And remember, baby boomers, they need them. And they're back. They weren't able to sell hearing aids during the height of COVID. Samples are slowly coming back. David, what you do is you starve yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then
maybe
you go to Costco.
Maybe you fast, and then you go to Costco.
I see.
And you beat them. That's used to, I used to. But then the CFO, Rich Galanti, who's one of the greatest guys ever, I said, I used to go to Costco. I used to beat the heck out of you guys. And he said, well, how much did you then spend? So like, well, I don't know, like, $1,000. Maybe we beat you.
On a $100,000 ring, but I beat you.
I've not done that. Okay. I did take my wife there, and she said, is this Bulgari? I said, no, Bulgari is about $600,000.
You can get a good deal at Costco. Probably the same. You
know, I saw it Bulgari. I said, $60,000. I went in. I said, geez, you know, how much is that Bulgari? And she said, you have to ask? And I knew I was way over my head.
Well, I like your point about samples coming back because we've got that. David has gone to a conference. I've been to a conference.
Yes.
United now is going to add their December schedule, 3,500 flights as they see a surge in holiday travel.
I think this is great. And the other day, there was a note from Goldman, who's become the biggest naysayer except for the $100 oil, downgrading American Airlines and downgrading Nucor, whom I have tonight. I've mentioned this in my what I am looking at memo that you get if you're a club member. And I find these things ridiculous. Like, how can you downgrade Nucor after coming all the way down from 125? Why would you downgrade any one of the airlines? If travel's coming back, if international travel's coming back, just own them. By the way, David, did you know that Delta's 100% carbon neutral?
As of when?
As of April 7th. I don't know. I'm just saying that they have. At 3 o'clock on April 7th. No, I'm just saying.
Typically, that's a target 8 to 10 years out.
No, they already are carbon neutral. I mean, a lot of people, 2030, 2050.
Delta, the airline, is carbon neutral.
No, Delta, the disease. Yes, Delta, the airline.
You sure?
I had her at a conference last week. Yes, I am certain.
Okay. All right.
Am I sure?
It's always, listen, there's interesting metrics that you can use here to judge carbon neutrality. It gets back to the larger question of ESG and how we measure sustainability and all the different metrics, which are difficult as well sometimes to work through. But I did not know that. I would assume, like many companies who are actually in a industry in which they are expelling a lot of carbon, they would have been a number of years out before they'd get to neutral.
A lot. Now, you can buy carbon shits, but the most fashionable way, I'm going to quiz David, because that guy, the second greatest on Jeopardy,
yes.
David gave him the answer beforehand.
Yes, Modio, yes.
Yeah, Modio, who's from a graduate school.
Yes. Did you just say I gave him the answers? What did you just say?
Yeah.
I was asked him the questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I asked him the questions. I forgot. Yeah. But what is the best way for companies, and I'm not kidding, when I interview Fortune 500 companies, yes. S&P 500 companies,
yes.
What do they say about how that they are becoming carbon neutral?
What do they say?
Yeah, what is the best way?
Plant trees.
Exactly right. $1 a tree, you can reforest a whole burned out forest in Oregon for $1 a tree. I did that, and I did a lot of trees, I can't do it, but people, that's how you can very quickly get the ESG people to like you more.
Yep. And this is, I want to talk more about that later in the program. But back
that
to Delta,
conference that you did
back
yesterday?
To Delta, the other Delta.
Which one? The bad one.
We
or the
do
good
have
one?
News from Pfizer as well in terms of seeking
the one you can, the one you get sick from, the
11,
one you ride in,
the one you get sick from.
Okay.
Which is yet another milestone, 5 to 11. Dr. Gottlieb yesterday, finally got to interview him, saying he sees that as a significant moment.
Is he on the board of Pfizer?
He's on the board of Pfizer and Illumina. He's also got a new book out. I don't know if you've heard. But the fact that, this,
that
5 to 11 from Pfizer will get most likely emergency approval by the end of the year, and that molnupiravir from Merck will get emergency approval most likely by the end of the year.
You're not worried about side effects there? You're not hearing side effects?
Nope. No.
Dig
safety
deeper.
Profile of molnupiravir? No.
Dig deeper.
I'm not.
All right.
I'm not.
Okay.
I've looked at some of the data, the early phase two, the phase one. No. I
mean, all right.
I'm happy to put the
there.
Question to Merck and to Ridgeback.
I want you to.
I know there's some. You should look more deeply into the sources for that.
Wow.
Oh, don't you dare.
No, I'm telling
you. Don't you dare. No. Okay.
You can't put that out
does
there.
Does the source have an
edge? Put that
does
out
the
there.
Source have...
No, I'm just saying you can't
but
put
no,
that out
I'm
there and question
at,
something's
I am,
efficacy
I'm
and
putting
safety
it out
profile.
To all the... Look, so far there's questions. I want to put them to rest. That's all.
Okay.
I think you want me to
you
do that.
You might not
want
to raise that on air before you do so.
I'm trying to find... You know, you're absolutely right. I don't want to take it back. I want to say that I'm searching for it. I'm checking.
Okay.
That's different from saying there are...
One and would hope and assume the FDA will do the same when they review the data.
The FDA?
Yeah.
FDA. How about the CDC? Have you read...
I know.
The FDA. The CDC does...
You're doing a lot here to bolster confidence, by the way.
Well,
great.
No, Gottlieb's book, the CDC stuff, is hysterical. I mean, if it weren't about a disease, we would think that it was a movie.
As he has said, they're not equipped to do this.
No. I mean, it would be like... kind of like a Keystone Cop. Leslie Nielsen is that runs the CDC.
Suboptimal, I think.
Leslie Nielsen
like
was in charge of the CDC.
There is, though, good news around the world. Germany, the health minister there, says they're not going to need further COVID measures this fall and winter because their vaccination rates, Jim, are so high. We're going to watch that.
Green pass.
Yep. But for the time being, futures do look good. A lot of other news to get to, including ConAgra. We touched on Costco, but GM's day yesterday, Tilray, and a lot more. Squawk on the Street from the NYSE continues in a moment. Facebook is reportedly delaying the rollout of some new products in the wake of that criticism surrounding the social network. Wall Street Journal says the company is also putting work on new and existing products on hold while it conducts so-called reputational reviews to examine how Facebook may be criticized and to ensure the products don't adversely affect children. Comes after Tuesday's congressional testimony by whistleblower Frances Haugen. Interesting, although you have to imagine, Jim, that they sort of do these reviews before any launch. Who knows? JP Morgan does reiterate overweight today.
Look, I saw that, and I think that a lot of that is a bounce back. They didn't seem to really address as much as what I'm concerned about, which is the new Apple iOS is going to make it really difficult for anybody to track. Well, it's going to be more formal that if you're a computer, you know, if you're a consumer products good company, you may not be able to see how well Facebook's ad did versus, say, Google. I think we all want to be as jaded as imaginable about Mark Zuckerberg. But isn't this what you would have liked if you were trying to figure out how they can begin to change their ways? You would like them to hold back, figure it out, and for Mark Zuckerberg to get personally involved. I think that's the next thing you're going to hear, that he's a parent, he's getting personally involved. This is going to be his focus. Safety will be his focus. It's no longer going to be a muted message where he's like, you know, we've got industry best. We can do more than industry best.
Well, we'll see what actions follow those words.
I agree. And we'll hold people's feet to the fire, but I'm saying...
They make the point at Facebook, of course, that they're, at least they're doing research. They claim many of their other competitors are not for, yeah, are that, not even doing
that. I don't
get research.
I mean,
don't
one of the things that you learn to argue that is a kind of a bad way to argue is, you know, I could say, David, you know, I listen to you, but do you know something after I listen to you? I know other reporters, frankly, that are every bit as good as you, but they're not. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't just like say, well, look, Apple's not, Apple doesn't do what I do. That doesn't work. And what I think that Mark Zuckerberg's going to go toward is, rather than try to measure what others are in, he's going to recognize the power of Facebook, which is the most important media company in the world, and recognizing with power comes responsibility. I don't mean to be too cliched, but I think that this is the beginning, and I think that there's going to be a pivot. Now, I know others will say that is inconceivable that this man can do anything right. I am not saying that. I'm thinking he can.
We kind of went through this on GDPR, where they call for industry-wide standards, which obviously, in the end, leaves the giants better positioned versus smaller players. This happens every time.
Yeah, it does. And I think that one of the things that the difficulty that he's in, let's say he says, listen, Congress, you take care of it. Well, then he might become the winner because Congress is so ineffectual.
But, well, that is a key question here. I mean, we all listened to that Senate hearing, or many people did. Not sure if Zuckerberg did, but is there going to be real action? And what will it be?
Well, I think we wait to see, but the fact is this is a start. I mean, look, if you, let's say he were Lucifer. Lucifer does not say, you know what, we're going to stop and figure this out. Lucifer doesn't do that. Did you ever see the match ad?
Well, he might yes, they were, those ads were great.
Right?
With but Lucifer might do that to fake you out.
No.
Then he comes to get you.
No. Lucifer, he's not.
Over here.
Doesn't
really
sound like
not, he's not even Ryan Reynolds.
I'm a nice guy.
I want to be Ryan
Reynolds.
Can I just say, Ryan Reynolds' father was a Canadian Mounted Police.
Who knew?
And now he's in the wireless business.
Now he's the wireless. Yes. I'm saying that gin's pretty good. I'm saying, all I am saying is give Zuckerberg a chance.
You got to sing it, Jim.
Yeah, you got to
really?
Sing it.
No,
sing it.
You don't have to. I didn't put that in What Am I Looking
hear
At.
That.
I have my What Am I Looking At do for the club, David, that I send to you. I say you mentioned Tony. Tony's
John second. Lennon and Yoko. Okay.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash and the opening bell in a few moments. In the meantime, futures are still positive as we are, as he said, coming off the biggest upside reversal in about 7 months. Don't go anywhere.
All right, let's get to a mad dash. We've got a little less than 7 minutes before we get started with trading here. It's Thursday, right? Yeah, because I was
yes,
in,
it's
yeah,
Thursday.
I was in here. Do you want this? Here you go.
That coverage yesterday at the conference, I loved it.
Thank you.
Loved it. And, you know, I think when you start talking about what the activists are doing who are thoughtful activists, you realize the interview with Jeff Smith and Starboard?
Yeah.
It made me think about whether Box was compromised or not.
I know you have some definitive thoughts there, particularly on that KKR deal that they
yes.
did. But we're not here to talk about Box.
No, we're not.
The Mad Dash.
Anyway, Box did make you money. David, there's some J.P. Morgan put out a note on a charitable trust name that I've come back to after leaving, and it's on Disney. And they are saying that they feel that this is a nice consolidation pattern. They don't mention that. You know, they're rolling the price target to $230. Now, if you really do think, obviously, that the economy is going to open worldwide, I come back to that this is still not a COVID play, but a post-COVID play. Yes, they have Disney Plus, and people are going to constantly talk about Disney Plus the way they did about ESPN for a long time. But I think that was because there was a moment that Bob Chapek kind of alluded to that. No, I think going forward, you're going to hear about the cruise lines, attendance, the merchandise, and yes, going to the movies, Adam Aaron, which is he's AMC.
Right.
So I think the world of the stock now because it's paid its dues.
Well, it had a great 2020.
Right.
Then obviously it peaked early this year. And
well, because then we saw the sense that maybe we're not going to go to the moon, Alice, with Disney Plus. But I say, and then there was this question about Indian numbers. Boy, was that a sleeper. That was so hard to get through. But I would say this is going to become a standard name for big institutions if they think that COVID, that Delta variant's under control.
Okay.
It's going to be like, okay, yeah, sure, I own Disney. You know, there are these stocks where big people just say, oh, yeah, I own Disney.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that again after hiatus. Hiatus.
Hiatus.
You pronounce the H.
Got it. All right. Well, Disney shares may be up more than 1%. We do have an opening bell coming up less than 5 minutes from now. Don't go anywhere. More Squawk in the Street coming right back.
The effects would be cascading. So day one would be bad, but the cascading effects in the ensuing weeks could go anywhere from a recession to a complete catastrophe for the global economy. And I don't know why anyone would take a chance like that.
That's Jamie Dimon among the CEOs meeting with the president yesterday about the debt ceiling. Of course, we got that proposal from McConnell on extending it to December. Some conflicting reports this morning, Jim, about whether the Democrats wanted to be a little bit farther into February. But overall, Goldman's note was die another day. They say there is still the possibility that you wind up in December with a debt limit and broader fiscal spend dilemma at the same time, which would put us right back here.
Yeah, look, I think that that's a little too negative. I think he did it because he wanted to invoke the bond movie. A lot of times when we get Wall Street research, and I often talk about this, and when I send out my memo, like die another day. He wants to somehow make it so that he's original thinking. But the idea that the catastrophizing has brought the market down big. I expect even more to go on for a while. But in the end, it seems like the S&P has been on the sidelines. I did not see the S&P warn us, David, that we are going to downgrade your debt if this continues. And that was the big fear. That's the fear.
I hear you.
That was the fear.
Let's get the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. Pretty much the inverse picture on breadth as of yesterday. At the big board, it's Lifetime Fitness celebrating an IPO. We'll talk to the CEO in the next hour.
He's so excited. He started out as a trainer. You will love him. He's created an amazing institution. It was undervalued, and he took it private.
LTH. And then at the NASDAQ, Biotricity, a medical diagnostic company, celebrating its recent listing. Interesting headline in the FT a few moments ago, Jim. The cost of shipping goods from China to the United States has finally slumped. They're looking at rates that take you a container from China to L.A. Has been halved between September and October.
But that,
welcome news.
Yeah, it's a little weird that it's the day that we have done an amazing start on a series of getting a Care Bear here. If you get that under control, I mean, everything from housing, autos. By the way, if you get semis under control, let me know.
But that's more a supply issue, semis, isn't it, than just a
supply
logistical supply chain issue.
But we need truck drivers.
Part. Yes.
We got to find truck drivers.
Well, that's what Jane Wells was reporting from the port. The port. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You heard. By the way, it is a great series. We have, if you haven't seen it, we have reporters in four different spots sort of showing how a Care Bear gets onto the shelf and what's going on with that. But Jane was talking to them about going 24/7 at the port, and they said, we could do that, but there's no trucks to take the stuff away. So
there isn't. I was hoping that I know that Uber's got a plan to be able to make it so that you can find truckers everywhere to bring trucks back. We need the containers to come back to San Francisco. But this would be amazing. If you got the principal choke point removed, then I really think that Jay Powell is going to win on this transient battle. Now, right now, everyone just thinks Jay's just doing it as kind of a, song and dance machine. you know, keeping this job. I mean, no, Jay Powell is so rigorous. And I think he's, man, he didn't use the term, he didn't go on transitory in that last time. He didn't do that.
Right.
But I just think that these little points, natural gas peaking, SPR, they can start going and have a momentum and make it so the financial guys, who, by the way, the financial guys are the buyers at the Henry Hub. Rusty Brazil, thank you for this. It does great work. The Henry Hub natural gas, David?
Yes.
A lot of it's financial buyers. Hedge funds.
Speculators.
Speculators.
Do you think that we're going to be sitting here 2 years from now still talking about it? It's transient? Or by then will you admit that maybe it wasn't?
I'm with Jay Powell. I've been with Jay Powell the whole time, and I'm staying with Jay Powell.
Looks like the president may be with him, too. I don't know. He did say he had some positive things to say, didn't he?
I think it was Jen Psaki was asked after Warren's speech, does he have confidence? And they said they do. The White House has confidence in Jay Powell.
How could they not have confidence in him? He favors putting as many people to work as possible. I think the big problem is finding them. You know, we've got to do more, and everyone's got to do more about what happened to the 60 to 65-year-old cohort who left the workforce.
The Great Resignation?
Well, you know, 700,000 people die of COVID, right? So you get these people in their 70s. They're not going to risk it. And then people in their 60s. I mean, anyone who hears, you know what, you need a booster, say, hey, you know, why do I need to work?
Yeah. B of A's got some card spend data out this morning. Spending at daycare centers has improved, not fully returned to 2019 levels, suggesting childcare challenges remain. It's going to be an issue for the jobs number tomorrow.
Absolutely. But I think things are going in the right direction. If we go in the right direction, we're going to be looking for a bottom. This kind of action, no. I mean, you'd go up, down, big. No, we don't want that. I mean, look, if I want good research, if I want to try to make something, I look at a thing like Baird. Baird put out a note today which says they told you to stay away from Pinterest in July. Now they're saying October, it's come down enough. They do their survey. I'm looking for stocks that have come down enough that are buys. And this kind of prolongs things. So a lot of these stocks still have not come down enough. They haven't.
Craig Moffett, who has been a longtime critic of AT&T, doesn't quite think it's come down enough to be a buy, but it does go to a neutral.
Does he think the bloodbath is over?
He does. I think he does. He says even after
the
dividend.
Did you read
it? He did. I read up to page 11.
That's the first line.
I read up to page 11. Well, I skipped ahead. Even after the dividend cut, implied dividend, there's a look at it, yield still 90 basis points above Verizon's. But he still can't get himself any further than sort of that faint praise.
I wonder why that
is. It was having a positive effect on AT&T.
I said nothing?
That's not a right quote.
It's not?
I've got AT&T up.
Well.
Am I lagging here? I don't know.
Man, I think you're a liar. Look, the piece I read, it's kind of like
that.
The worst is over.
I got AT&T up 1.23%.
The worst is over. I mean, but, you know, to me, there's one, you know, it's saying that what stocks have really paid
their dues.
Well, they
have $20 million free cash flow target, which he's still wondering or questioning. $8.5 billion, and that's going to be devoted to the dividend, of course.
Right.
Boy, you spent a lot of time on that.
Well, because I was right, too.
And you were right. And I would also point out, by the way, its merger partner for Warner Discovery has been getting shellacked also.
Totally.
So the overall value of being accorded to the spin or split, whatever you want to call it, the reverse Morris Trust that's going to take place for the Warner assets, including HBO, into what will become Warner Discovery, has been coming down. Don't forget, that company will be 5x levered.
Right. And the HBO Max, you got that note last night that there's going to be the prequel, right?
Yeah.
To Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I'm not going to. But they do send you the emails. There was a kind of a pulse there now. That was the notion of the AT&T piece.
There's a pulse.
Yeah.
He also is pointing out, I mean, he still says their leverage is 4x. They would dispute that in 3.1, but he throws in other things in terms of identifying what he believes is the leverage at the company. Questions, you know, how much more spending they have to do on Spectrum. But, again, a neutral, they're happy with it.
Well, you know,
this guy
also
has been a frequent critic of the company.
More than
and by
I
the way,
more
right,
than I have.
Rightly so, because largely when you look at the performance of the stock price over time, it's
didn't
been a good
identif-
call.
Didn't
it is up, by the way. I don't
well,
know what's
I do. I do think that Apple is the big beneficiary of this group in the end. Everybody wants to give you the 13, which I love.
Yeah.
The 13 I love so much. Oh, I left the light on. Is that okay if you do that?
That'll wear your battery down.
This battery? I've charged my house with this battery. It's like, I'm not kidding. This thing is like a Genrac, David.
Oh, AT&T's going ex-dividend. That's why you were seeing that weird chart there.
Now, let me tell you what, Carl, the one that was really people were buzzing about was, why did Mary Barra give such aggressive targets for 2030?
I was just going to ask you, looking to double revenue by 2030, $25 billion in services and software.
I know.
On an annual basis, half of North America with EV-ready production by 2030.
She put a gun to her head. I think that's very tough. We don't know what 2023 is going to look like. 2030 is very aggressive.
It is, but their cruise division's got to be worth a lot. I mean, they have a lot of intellectual property in there, don't they?
I think so, but you know who's got a lot of money? Ford, which you know I like.
Yes, I do.
The Rivian numbers are so impressive, and Ford's got that stake in Rivian.
Ford has a stake in Rivian. Amazon has a stake in Rivian. That's going to be a very interesting
IPO.
That's
an $80 billion going to $100 billion deal.
I mean, I think their last round was 80, Rivian. This is a private company. Of course, we're talking about Rivian, which makes the SUVs, EV SUVs.
100,000 order from Bezos.
I have a few friends who are waiting for them, say they're going to get them pretty soon.
Really?
I guess.
It's in Normal, Indiana. That's where they make
them. Yeah. I want to go to the factory, actually.
No, I already have that.
Now we got this upgrade of Neo over at Goldman.
Oh, yeah. And
they're going to buy 56.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, you know, no. No, you're not to buy Neo. You can get 2 days of Neo and then just go see the movie. I don't want people in these Chinese stocks. That's how he gets you. That's how she gets you. He gets you in. It's kind of like Godfather 3. You know what I mean? She gets you in, and then you're done.
Oh, we got Baba's back above 151.
I know. Well, he let them go for a couple of days.
Yeah.
She's kind of in a, well, because it's, you know, it's a great holiday week.
And then what? It's
holiday's not
James
really taking
off. At the toll booth? And that's what happens? What?
You want to be in a flyover this weekend? In a Taiwan flyover? I'll get you one of those.
Well, we got the Jake Sullivan meeting in Switzerland.
Yes.
And now it looks like the president and Xi are going to meet virtually by the end
of the
year.
Well, doesn't that mean that they have to stop the flyovers of Taiwan airspace? I mean, how can they keep doing that if the president's going to meet? PepsiCo's up again. It's PepsiCo.
Yeah. We're above 4,400 for the first time since September 28.
Wow.
Dow's on pace for the best week since June.
Remember a week ago we were talking, woe is me, woe is Monday. It was like, oh, geez, worse since Feb whatever. Remember that, David?
I do. We were just talking ESG. You know, I did speak to Ed Garden yesterday from Trian.
I love that interview.
It was interesting.
I was jealous of you.
You know, there's an interesting an inflection point I think we're getting to some extent when it comes to ESG, which is you've got a lot of asset managers and or endowments or those who give their money to those who then allocate the assets who say, here's my list. You can't go there. You can't own ExxonMobil. We've talked a lot about that.
No matter what they do.
And we've wondered whether would Facebook ever be a part of a list of stocks that's now that's an ESG? No. But, you know, Garden makes the point, and others do as well, that may not be exactly the right approach. Don't you want to actually put money with somebody who's going to be a force for change? Take a listen to what Garden had to say.
I think what you're going to see is more money going into ESG, companies who have ESG issues, versus the small number of companies that are perceived to be good ESG players. And a hugely important nuance to all of this is that in order to become best in class from an ESG perspective, management teams are going to need to spend money, and it's going to take time.
It's interesting. You know, if you are, though, an asset manager who has or is on the board of ExxonMobil, you're probably having a hard time raising money right now, even though you conceivably may be one of the agents of change within the company.
But what are you going to do if you're Mike Wirth, all right, at Chevron, and he does what you really want? It's not lazy Susan, I send you the chits, you give me back my certificate. He's spending $3 billion, goes to $10 billion to develop new ways of energy. I think he's doing everything you could possibly ask. He's a very smart man. You get a 5% yield, which is safe. Why is he not given the opportunity to say, hey, listen, I think you're doing everything you want? Or do you just say, you know what, energy, no,
well,
it doesn't
right.
matter.
And that's
like what they did with apartheid back in the 70s, where we don't care that you're hiring.
By raising their cost of capital, do you force them into certain moves that they have to make because they don't have access to capital the way that others industries do? Or Are you better off having, and by the way, it's not just oil and gas, it can be any number of other companies where you might be better served having somebody put their feet to the fire in terms of changing, and by the way, potentially beneficial to shareholders over time
I
as
think,
well.
Yeah. Do they count scope three where they're hammering their suppliers?
I mean,
to me, that's Microsoft's way of doing it. And I think that there's a lot of people. I talked to Carmine DeCibio at EY, and I think they're a bit the best measure. They're an independent outfit that measures this.
Yes.
And he would tell you, listen, we know who's phony and who's not. Why don't you just, we'll work with you to tell you who's actually trying to clean steel like Nucor tonight and who is saying they're clean.
Well, it requires a lot more work, though, on the part of the allocators to a certain extent than just simply having a list.
That fund should have a higher, I don't want to say cost of funds, but you know what I mean. They should have many more analysts. You can't just say, these guys sound like they're jokers.
Right.
No.
But it's a marketing pitch for a lot of the, but it's a marketing pitch for a lot of the platforms to just say, we're ESG, we're great on ESG.
Yes.
Period.
But you can analyze.
The money will come in instead of saying it's very complicated and we're going to take it on a situation by situation basis. And therefore you have to rely on us to do that.
Right.
Because that might mean that we invest in things that on the outside don't appear to be particularly ESG friendly.
But do these funds really have, Carl, do they really have the ability? I think they have to hire people who professionally have to analyze each business within a large business. I mean, yesterday we had Jim Fitterling on. I thought he made a very compelling case.
Which, by the way, Dow's leading the Dow at the moment.
Dow is, because he was down really badly yesterday, and I thought that was just awful because he made a great case for being cleaner and also having higher cash flow. So I'm glad the market's delaying its analysis of many things. Like PepsiCo was down at 601 when they reported 2 days ago, and now it's up. I think that there are a lot of companies. Take that Marvell had a meeting yesterday, and I have been pounding the table for Marvell since it was at 17, and I've been saying that they have the best chips. They put it together that every single one of the major cloud companies has to use them, and no one was listening. No one. And then boom. I mean, they have announced me, and people say, wow, Marvell's good. I mean, where have you been? David, look at that chart.
Now look at that chart.
And then can we give a longer-term chart out in 18 months? You will see this is a company that has said, we're going to get everybody from all the great Chinese companies to the Amazons to the Googles. And they've done it. Look at that. Will you look at that?
I am looking at it.
That's a good chart.
It is a nice
chart. That's representative of a company that has snuck between NVIDIA and AMD to become the we need help making a chip. By the way, 28% autos and IoT, and not a choke point. They are delivering. They're not NXPI. We'd like to have NXPI right here to talk about the choke point.
Yeah.
Or Global Foundries, they're coming public.
Yep. And to your point about the car being basically an iPhone on wheels, more reports today about how CarPlay is going to evolve over at Apple, where you would manage your climate control and your radio using your phone.
Look out. Samsung has an unbelievable alternative. Ever since they bought Harman, I think that Samsung offers the best package right now. I hope Apple has a better package because I'm an Apple person,
Not a what person?
I'm not a Samsung person.
Oh, you're not a Samsung.
Are you a Samsung person?
No, I guess not.
You know when Steve Ballmer got retired from Microsoft?
He was no longer a Nokia person.
Microsoft person. So look at this. So what's that? It's a Microsoft phone. I said, but you flip it open, what do you do with it?
Open it. It's a very valuable piece of hardware.
It's like a shoe phone.
It really was.
Yeah.
No, it's a collectible.
Yeah, you could get in the cone of silence for that phone.
Oh, that's well smart.
There was one other Apple headline today. Dutch officials have decided that the in-app store payment system is anti-competitive in their view. So they're having to deal with that issue all around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it gets tiresome because this is something Zuckerberg didn't bother to do this time, which is Apple saying, look, you don't have to be in the app store. You can go do what you want. You can go have your own. And that was the epic battle. Like, just go have your own. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Epic battle?
Yeah,
That was epically off the front page after the Epic settlement.
Guys, real quick on activist front. This is a relatively small, about $7 million company. They own a lot of...
$7 million?
Doctor's cough. $7 billion. HTA.
Bloomberg, I thought that was a good deal. That stock has been underperforming.
Bloomberg reported it, and I can also confirm. Elliott owns a pretty significant stake there. I've been tracking this for a while, know some of the bigger owners there. They were disappointed when the CEO kind of was... disappeared for unknown reasons.
Okay.
They're looking for to replace the CEO, but instead Elliott would like him to just sell the darn company. And, you know, there's a feeling overall that there might be some interest in private equity or Starwood, also Strategics, Healthpeak, Welltower. Blackstone be interested, unclear at this point, but poor cost of capital and just generally a bit of frustration there. So we'll see, but did want to mention that one. Bloomberg originally reported it.
Good job.
So between the debt limit extension and the decline in energy prices, we are above 4,400, as we said, on the S&P, first time in a little bit more than a week. Got the VIX back to 20. All sectors green, pretty much a 9-to-1 update today as the Dow's up 350 plus. All of this is happening even as yields really haven't budged a whole lot. 10-year 155, even after accounting for the postponement of the debt limit crunch.
See, we've just heard divorced from all that stuff. And I think we're getting the earnings period. We can start thinking about how companies are doing. And I still believe that we saw a template from PepsiCo. If you got good reps, they'll take you up.
Yeah. And of course, we do have the jobs number tomorrow to look forward to. Goldman at 600K, JPM at 575. We'll see. We'll be right back. Got a nice pop here at the open as expected. It pretty much is a 90% up day. Dow's now above 400, enjoying its best week since June. And we finally got that VIX below 20. We'll see how much of this sticks, and we'll get stop trading with Jim after a break. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Yeah, we got to talk for a moment just about AppLovin, and they bought this Twitter a MoPub business. I love that MoPub business. Just be able to get advertising for apps, and it's a terrific company. I know until I saw what they did, I really questioned. Maybe it was kind of like my favorite super band character,
yes,
right?
Yes.
McLovin.
I love McLovin.
AppLovin. Yeah,
yes.
You like McLovin?
Oh, how can you not like?
Well, this is actually AppLovin, which is better than McLovin.
Right.
But anyway, I think it goes higher. I had them on. I really like the company.
All right, Jim. How about tonight?
Okay, so tonight we have Nucor, and this is a Chapel Trust name, talking about, David, this is one where it's a steel company that I think is the most ESG-oriented closed-loop steel company. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Arnold, one that you, we talked about, ShareCare.
We interviewed him when they announced that deal, yeah.
But look at that SPAC. It's at Nowheresville.
It's $7
USA.
Range.
Nowheresville, USA, yeah. And it's an EBITDA positive. I'm trying to look at the broken SPACs to see which ones are still worth something.
Excuse me, it's $8 now, ShareCare.
Well,
$8.10. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, it does have
some broken SPACs.
You like that?
There's a lot of them.
Wow.
And they're broken for a reason, many of them, but they're probably, there may be some.
And I liked your coverage yesterday in your conference.
Thank you.
Tip for tat.
pertinent to our conversation on energy a few moments ago, Jim, Oxy's on the tape saying they're going to prioritize margins and dividends rather than focusing on oil production volumes.
Oxy?
Yeah, Vicky Holub.
Oh, my.
At a conference this morning. Sort of gets to our point about whether or not we're going to get sustained capacity in energy.
Oxy, that's incredibly important because they've been going flat out.
They still got a lot of debt on that balance sheet.
Yeah, they do. Warren Buffett did very well.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The other, speaking of Buffett, thing to get you on, Jim, is the banks as we get closer to earnings. Wolf cuts Bank of America today.
Yeah, I thought that's a fatuous downgrade. I mean, come on, Bank of America is now probably the least expensive after the big run J.P. Morgan's had. And that is very, very inexpensive situation if they think rates are going to go higher. My favorite for my trust is Wells Fargo. By the way, Wells Fargo lost $20 billion on that fine, which turned out to be not that big, $20 billion.
But $20 billion in market value.
In market cap.
Yeah, yeah.
And now look at it, it's all the way back. And I know that people want Charlie's, you know, I know Elizabeth Warren's not been that complimentary of Wells. Wow. When she takes you on, what does she call of Jay Palsh's
Darth
Vader?
You're the show
Vader?
She goes on, you should know.
I know.
Well, you know, she, Darth, what was the, she was, wait, Jay Palsh, she said was what, the most dangerous man?
Yes.
Dr. Strangelove.
Jim, we'll see you tonight.
No fighting in the war room.
By the way,
fighting in the war room.
You can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Just sign up. Find out more at cnbc.com/investing club or use the QR code, of course, on your screen. Session highs back to 44.16. Don't go away. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.